The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome all of you back. Tony Barnhart joining us shortly, and then the final hour will help you get ready for tonight's baseball action between Notre Dame and Mississippi State. That game 2 hours from now, live from Starkville. It will be on ESPN2. I know a lot of you are used to watching the SEC games after us, but that game will be on a different, not a different network, down the dial, though. Let's continue with more phone calls at 855-242-7285. And how about Matt up next? What do you got, Matt?
How you doing today, my friend, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? I want to talk to you about the winners and losers in this college football playoff. The biggest loser is Notre Dame because they refuse to join a conference, and that's why they are the loser in this college football playoff, the 12-game playoff. And I want to know what your thoughts, and I want to talk to you about Texas A&M football, how they're the winner, and why I can give you 5 reasons why they're going to beat Alabama this year. The first one, what your thoughts on Notre Dame is as well.
Yeah, you know, Matt, I agree. My first thought was Notre Dame had been jobbed in this, and then I started thinking about it. I agree. They should join a conference, but Notre Dame isn't as bad off in this as I think you think they are, primarily because they'll get a first-round game, and they'll be the heavy favorite because the game's at home if they are one of the better teams in the country. And they'll make a lot of money, but you know, okay. They also don't have to play a conference championship game, so that there is an advantage
all
there.
Right, cool. Okay, well, let me give you my 5 reasons why I think A&M will beat Alabama. Okay. 1, A&M plays them at home. 2, A&M returns most of their offensive production and defensive production this year, even though Alabama does the same thing on the defensive line.
Okay.
3, Alabama plays a really first rough schedule compared to A&M.
True. They got Miami and Florida.
Florida and Ole Miss. A&M doesn't have that. They have maybe 2 or 3 people on their schedule that might be hard. Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Colorado. But Colorado, everybody knows that they're a cupcake compared to...
You know, Matt, I have to compliment you. You are sounding more and more like a talk show host every day. So I don't know what you've been doing, but you got. Is there a fifth one before
I've been doing my research, Paul. I took your advice and did my research.
Matt, you are the winners and losers. You are the biggest winner today because I like what you're saying, and I like the new Matt style. It's putting your enemies to shame. Our next guest has no enemies. He is Mr. College Football. He is Tony Barnhart, and it's always a pleasure. Tony, what's going on now? How are you?
Paul, I am doing well. I saw a guy last week, and he said, so this is your slow time of year, right? I said, No, because in college football, it's always something, and here we go again.
Yeah, it should be. It's traditionally off season, but last year, Tony, I thought June may have been one of the busier months with all the speculation about whether we would even have a fall. And this year, and what people don't know, and I know you of course live in this like few do. It's a long way from being over. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours today who's somewhat more in the middle of this thing than you are, and I am. And he said, well, don't forget, we have the NIL issue next to deal with.
Right. You know, between the playoff, the NIL, and the transfer portal, this has got to be the craziest June we have ever had in the sport. And, he's right. NIL is next, and goodness knows how that's going to work out.
Well, let me start with what we do know and how we discovered all this as quickly as we did, and the fact that they confirmed it is it really unprecedented. But your first reaction, at least on this program, to what has been proposed in relation to the CFP?
Well, it's a game. I heard Michael Resko's interview with you earlier today, and it is a game changer. There's no question about it, and it's a game changer. It was a deal that got done, Paul, because it made – not only did it make Michael Resko happy, but it made Greg Sankey happy. And any kind of deal that makes both of those folks happy is one that's pretty inspired. It was funny, about a month and a half ago, I first started hearing people say – because I thought it was going to be 8 teams. I was convinced that 8 was the number. But then people started talking, hey, Tony, you know, don't rule out 12. And, as you know, 8 didn't seem to work as well. And so I wasn't shocked when 12 came, but I was a little surprised.
Yeah, Tony, I don't remember who it was that was on this show talking about 12, and I frankly have to admit I thought the guy was crazy. It just didn't make any sense, okay. But it does now.
Well, it does now because the way, Paul, the way that we're used to dealing with these things, college athletics moves incrementally. They don't go big. They rarely ever go big. They do what's the safe next move, and they must have decided, hey, it's time to go big or go home. And now that we've had some time to sort of rest on this, it's clear why this happened. It happened because 8 was not going to work for the SEC, and 12 would. With 6 at-large positions, 6 at-large berths, this is something that's going to benefit the SEC. Like we said, had this been last season, the SEC very likely would have gotten 4 out of the 12 teams in. That's a good deal for them. It opens up the door for the group of 5, Michael Resko and his folks. And so now it makes perfect sense.
And what does it do, Tony, to the sport that we would both admit, sadly, has been slipping lately?
Well, what it does is, to give our good friend Tim Brando all the credit, he's been harping on this for a long, long time, that the sport needs to be more inclusive, there needs to be more opportunity. But, Paul, the number that kept jumping out at me was this. We've had 7 years of the college football playoff, 4 bids a year. That's 28 total bids. Of those 28 total bids, 22 of the 28 have gone to 5 schools, the 4 that played this year plus Oklahoma. And that ultimately, I was a hardcore 4-team guy for a long, long time. But after the pandemic season and seeing how it played out, I said, you know what, we got to shake things up a little bit. So, again, I thought it was going to be 8. It turns out to be 12, but hey, it'll be, if we can get it started in 2023, it'll be exciting.
Tony Barnhart with us. Tony, we're 5 weeks away from media days, and we all know what that means, and this is going to be an unprecedented season. So let's talk about what you hear on the field. I know you're always in contact with coaches and people that know what's going on. Let's start with Georgia. What can you tell us about the Dogs? And I think I've asked you this for at least 30 years. I missed the first 10, but is this the year? is this the year that we forget about 1980?
Yeah, is this the year when it finally happens for Georgia? What I've told people, because everywhere I go, I get asked the same question: Is Georgia going to finally do it? And my position is, they're good enough to do it. Georgia is good enough, talented enough to win every single game they play. Will they? We don't know. But they've got their quarterback now in JT Daniels. They've got a deep running back roster. And I started to say in the free agent market, I should say the transfer portal, they've been able to make some pickups that are going to strengthen their teams, particularly in the secondary. So, it's going to be fascinating to watch Georgia play Clemson in Charlotte to open the season. And if Georgia wins that game, I think they're absolutely good enough to run the table. And this, we'll see how they do when they get to Atlanta and they face Alabama.
We just somehow always skip right ahead. But in reality, I don't know how you can't, though. And Tony, you let's stay in the SEC East for a second. Could you really make a compelling argument for anyone other than Georgia?
Not really. No, not in the SEC East. I think the big fight is going to be who's going to finish second. Is it going to be Florida? Is it going to be Missouri? Is it going to be Kentucky? You know, Florida's got a lot of rebuilding to do, and you got to prove to me that Emory Jones can be an every-down quarterback. If he can, then I think the Gators will be there. But no, I don't. From a sheer talent standpoint, I do not see another team challenging Georgia in the East.
And it's almost become just cliche to talk about the West, but let's move Alabama off the centerpiece for a second. Is it A&M? Is it LSU? What happens in the West?
Right now, I think it's A&M. Now, some of my friends are telling me that LSU is going to bounce back, and You know, the, Miles Brennan or Max Johnson, regardless of who plays quarterback, LSU is going to have to prove it to me after watching them last year. So right now, even though Jimbo Fisher is going to have a new quarterback, I like the Aggies. I think they've recruited well since he's been there. They've got some depth. If they can find a couple of places, fix a couple of places in the offensive line, I think they're going to be a very good team.
Tony, new coaches across the board, 4, and when you start adding it up, the league has an enormous number of new coaches. So I ask you, in terms of being concerned, Tennessee, South Carolina, Auburn, there are a lot of places that people are really unsure about right now. I mean, there's always hype with a new coach, but of those three programs, which one are you most concerned about moving forward?
Well, I'm concerned about South Carolina and their roster. I think Shane Beamer has got a lot of work to do there. They've got to improve the roster significantly. It looks like Luke Doty's going to end up being the quarterback when all is said and done. I think both South Carolina and Tennessee have a lot of work to do. And we know what Josh Heupel wants to do offensively. The question is, does he have a quarterback in that room who can execute his offense? And I think that's yet to be proven.
And on Brian Harsin, a lot of optimism, but we talked to a writer the other day who spent a lot of time talking about what a great developer of talent he is, but I didn't hear a lot of big commitments heading that way. What would you say about Auburn taking a completely different approach?
Yeah, it is a completely different approach, and I think the big question for them is going to be, can Mike Bobo develop Bo Nix into a consistent quarterback? Bo Nix is obviously a talented quarterback, but he hasn't been a consistent quarterback. If they can do that, then I think Auburn can have a pretty decent season. But I think there's a lot of work to do there. But it all, in the game the way it's played today, Paul, you can no longer be average at quarterback. You have to be elite. And look at what all the elite teams have in common. They're not average at quarterback. So can Mike Bobo develop Bo Nix into an elite quarterback, or certainly one that's a lot more consistent?
And finally, Tony, between the two of us, we've covered about 500 years of SEC football. and I'm curious because, let's be honest, we missed last season. I know it was played. Yeah. I know there were fans got to go to the games, but it wasn't the same. And this year will be. In your life, to steal a phrase from Vern Lundquist, how excited are you for this upcoming year?
LaPaul, I got to tell you, I've been doing this a long, long time, and I can't remember being more excited about a season than this one, because last year, I think the word is surreal. Last year, I mean, it happened. The SEC deserves a tremendous amount of credit for playing all the games that they did last year and get another national championship, but it was just strange going through it. And I've run into more and more people who were so excited about getting back in the stadium. I talked to a lot of people that are going up to Charlotte for the Georgia-Clemson game. And so, yeah, I'm incredibly excited about this season.
Well, ditto me on that. I can't wait. Can't wait to see you soon, Tony. It's been too long. Thank you so much.
All right, Paul. Take care.
One of the best ever. Not that he's going anywhere, but he certainly deserves his due. Tony Barnhart, always fantastic to get his voice on this program. We will take a break. We'll look ahead to tonight's baseball game. Virginia has advanced. Another ACC team in. We will talk about all of that later on with our man doing the game tonight, KP, and we are coming right back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back here on a Monday afternoon. Great to have Tony here. And how about Eddie up next in Florida? Hello, Eddie.
Yeah, well, Paul, how you doing, my man?
Eddie, we're doing great.
Hey, you had a good weekend, Paul?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, man, enjoying everything. I love the interview that you just had. I like what Barnhart said that most people don't get, Paul. In order to get to the championship, you have to have an elite quarterback. That's why when I look at Bama's schedule, I'm not worried about Florida, and I'm not worried about Texas A&M because, well, I'm not really worried about the whole schedule because nobody on the schedule has an elite quarterback that really is going to put fear into that defense that we're going to put on the field. Hey, Paul, I don't care about the new format. You know why, Paul?
What's that?
Because, Paul, it took them everything to keep us out of getting in the fourth, right? We made the playoff, what, every time in the old form, well, the current format? And they're going to open it up to 12? What they think they're going to do?
Hey, Eddie, I don't know how to break this to you, but have you ever heard that the whole world of college football does not revolve around your team?
No. I know it don't, but for the last 9-10 years, it have evolved around Alabama. If you can try to deny it if you want to, but
well, yeah, I would not deny that. But when coming, but as great as Alabama is, and I think you know how I feel, it's also part of the problem with college football because Alabama has been so dominant that fewer people are watching the playoffs, and it's gotten stale.
That's not an Alabama problem.
Yeah, it may not be an Alabama problem, but it's a college football problem, and Alabama is just a player in that situation. I always hate to break this to my friends in Alabama, but the world of college football does not revolve around Alabama. Alabama is part of college football.
Hey, Paul, let me ask you this. You think it's going to be any different with 12?
I don't know. It will certainly be more exciting. It couldn't be any less exciting.
I mean, it's going to be exciting, but the object of the day is to win the championship, right?
No. The object of the game, the day is to make college football a better experience and to make more money for everyone, not just Alabama. I mean, I know that's how I view it. I'm sure college administrators would disagree. But, you know, the ultimate goal of the CFP is to identify a champion. But that doesn't mean that the process. I'm not against Alabama. You know that. I'm just saying that.
Let the rest of the country in
on the party, okay?
Oh, I'm all for that, Paul. I am all for that because I know the result's going to be the same. Recruiting dictates everything.
Well, Paul. Eddie, hold on a second. I mean, I don't know how old you are, but I've covered Alabama football for about 40 years, and I've seen some really great moments in Alabama history, and I've seen some pretty embarrassing ones. I can assure you, I have the information and the articles to back that up.
Hey, Paul, I'm not talking about the past. I'm talking about right now.
I'm talking reality, and I know that you don't think it's ever going to change, Eddie, but history would be an indicator that this is not going to last forever, okay?
Of course not. Of course not.
Well, I mean, you act like it is. I mean, and college football has to be prepared for the next 15 or 20 years post Nick Saban, unless he decides to coach to 90. I don't know. Maybe he will.
Hey, Paul, I'm not one of those Alabama fans.
Really?
I'm not one of those.
You certainly sound like one of them.
No, because they said the same thing about Nebraska and all of those other teams. All right? But they never came back.
Yeah, and I'm not saying Alabama will fall, but I don't know what Alabama is going to look like in 5 or 10 years. I know what it's going to look like this year and next year, but I have no earthly idea what the future looks like after Nick Saban leaves.
Oh, I think if we get the right guy.
Did you get the right guy after Bryant? Did you get the right guy after that? Did you get the right guy? You had three coaches named Mike that were all losers, okay?
Exactly. That was the old regime. That's what I'm talking about. That ain't happening again.
Well, Eddie, regimes change. I can assure you. I have studied history, as I'm sure you have.
I know, but Alabama is a brand, and they're going to be around. Oh,
okay,
Paul.
You're right.
They're going to be around.
Eddie, before you go, please allow me to apologize for thinking that anyone other than Alabama would ever win the national championship. That is wrong. And I don't know if there is an altar that I can go to and bow down and apologize, but I will do that as soon as I have a chance to. Let's talk to Bobby, who is up next. Hey, Bobby, go right ahead.
Fantastic call, sir. Man, I wonder if he was around for any of the Alabama games versus Fulmer, or if he remembers that the Bear never beat General Neyland.
He was born in 2007 when Nick Saban arrived at Alabama, and nothing ever happened before that.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for taking
my
call.
Thank you, Bobby.
Hopefully on a lighter note, today being Pat Summitt's birthday, I know you covered her for a long, long time. Everyone knows what she did on the court, but I was wondering if you had a couple good stories, you know, one or two of her off the court that you might have gotten to, you know, experience knowing her and... You know, some things that most
people don't. Sure. Well, Bobby, thank you for bringing it up, and I'll share one or two. We're going way back. I mean, when she died a couple of years ago on that, I think it was a June day, wasn't it? It was one of the saddest things I've ever experienced. Because and even though we all knew it was coming, it was just still so heartbreaking to see the culmination. So back to your question. I'll go back to knowing her in college when she was a very young coach at the University of Tennessee, and I was the school, the student sports editor, and we traveled together. We often sat next to each other on the plane. She was so bright. She at the time she was just either getting ready or coming off of playing on the U.S. Olympic basketball team. But even then, and there's nothing I can say that you haven't heard, but her steely-eyed competitiveness was unlike anything I have ever seen before or will ever see again. No one will ever top Pat Summitt when it comes to being the fiercest competitor I've ever seen in sports.
When you were talking about like the early days, her getting started, is it true that she drove the bus and did the laundry and was the team mom, I guess?
It is true, and I'll tell you the story. I'm trying to remember what year it was. It was sometime in the late 70s. I remember just from a point of reference to everyone how long ago this was. I was the school newspaper was about a block and a half to 2 blocks away from Stokely Athletic Center, where her office was, And we got like a bulletin on the AP wire that Tennessee in that week's AP poll had been named number one in the country for the first time ever. I immediately got my notebook, ran out of the building and trotted over to Stokely. And I was going to ask, I was going to get an interview with her. I decided not to waste time on the phone because I'm sure she was watching film. And I knocked on her door. And I kid you not, she's the head basketball coach at the University of Tennessee. And when she opened, she screamed like I'm busy or something. And she didn't even know it was me. And I finally said, Coach, I identified myself. And she said, what do you want? I said, I really need to talk to you about something. And she opened the door with that stare. And I looked into her office, and yeah, I kid
what,
you not,
did you do wrong?
I thought I had accidentally gone into like the broom closet where they keep the mops. I mean, it was that small and that cramped. And I said, well, you may want to hear what I have to say. And she did not say a word, like, sit down, thanks for coming over. And she just looked at me like, get it over with. I said, well, I got the AP wire in my hand, and I handed it to her, and all of a sudden she smiled and laughed and started rambling about how proud she was. I mean, so she understood the moment, but I lost about 10 years of my life just getting through to her, getting into her office.
That's great. Paul, thank you so much for taking my call.
It was my pleasure, and I'm so glad you remembered Coach Summit today. Hey, thank you very much. We'll take a break. We have 90 minutes to go, and we hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome all of you back, and great to have you here. Kyle Peterson next hour on tonight's Big Baseball Game. Jerry is up next in Georgia. Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for keeping it posture. I got a quick question for you. You had a gentleman on last week, and he gave the list of the players that are not going to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Can I get to at the address of that?
Yeah, he was talking about one of the requirements to be eligible for the College Football Hall of Fame was you had to have been a first-team All-American, which I had never heard before, but then again, I never paid much attention to it. And, you know, there are a number of players who aren't eligible, and it's weird because, I mean, just because you weren't the first, you know, I mean, that means you have to be the best at your position chosen by a group of people. That doesn't always mean that you didn't have an incredibly brilliant career.
I agree. My question and what brought it to my mind was A.J. McCarron. Was he first-team All-American?
No. A.J. No. I mean, A.J., I believe, came in second in the Heisman to Johnny Manziel, but I'm pretty sure he was never. I mean, what's amazing about A.J. McCarron, he came within one bizarre play of possibly winning three national championships, and had he done that, he still wouldn't have been in the College Football Hall of Fame.
I know, that's what breaks my heart. He's won two, and he won't be there, and he's the only one that I know of that's won two, and I've been an Alabama fan since back in the mid-50s and earlier.
I don't want to criticize an organization that is great, and I've been to the dinner, and it's an amazing event. We had Sylvester Croom on recently, and the honor that he felt just being on the ballot. But it is truly one of the stupidest rules I've ever heard.
Agreed, Paul. I'll let you go. That was my two questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Keep the fox stirred.
Great, great day. I'll give that give it a shot. Let's continue with more calls. Greg is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Greg.
Hey, so with the expanded playoffs now, One of the possibilities, I think, that could occur is having some three or maybe four lost teams in somewhere along the way. Do you think that will have a deleterious effect on the playoffs as a whole, or it will just be one of the possible side effects of expansion?
It could happen. Again, we're leaning heavily here on a committee to evaluate and make a determination of the six highest ranked conference champions and then six at large. So I don't think it's likely that we're going to get a bad team in there now that we're not taking automatic qualifiers, which was a guarantee that we would have an inferior team. But you could have a case where, because of the circumstances, maybe a school would have lost to the same, you know, like Georgia. Let's say they played Alabama in the regular season and they lost to them in the championship game, and maybe had one other loss. Would they be a good team? Yes, they would. They would have lost to, maybe the number one team twice and the number three team. Should that be a qualification to get in the playoffs? You and I know the answer to that, but I think that's where we are right now, though.
Hey, one last question. Will Coach Orgeron win another championship with LSU, or did he get and catch lightning in a bottle?
I am just giving an objective answer here, Greg. I don't see him winning another national championship, do you?
No. I think if you were going to weigh his chances against Nick Saban's, the smart money would go with Coach Saban, even though none of it's ever guaranteed. But I just think that so much happened last year that exposed some fault lines in that program. And I don't know that just hiring new offensive or defensive coordinators is going to...
No, I agree. I think he has a really important year, and I said important, not critical. And, yeah, I mean, he had one miserable offseason, and not all of it was his fault. Maybe not a lot of it, but it is his program. And ultimately, you know, the people that run that place are going to have to determine how much of that sticks to the program, and are they comfortable moving forward where they are. I appreciate very much your call. And Paul is in California. Hey, Paul, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well, Paul. Thank you.
I was born in Alabama in 1952. I came out here in 1960, but I've always been an Alabama fan. Now, what I understand watching your show is college football wants to make it harder for Alabama to win to make other teams more accessible to the playoffs. And I'm way, way happy for that, to prove our strength and loyalty to the Bama fans.
Yeah, I don't know why, Paul, Alabama is going to be particularly concerned about this. I mean, they have won the national championship in every possible classification, whether it was the BCS, the CFP, and the odds of them being upset because of all this are pretty small.
I think so too, and I'd like to see, like other people have said, like Notre Dame, and I guess you're on the Georgia wagon the way it seems.
Not officially. I'm thinking about it.
Well, you know, it's just a bunch of dogs.
Well, Paul, thank you. Yeah, I mean, to me, Georgia is an intriguing team this year. I think they're capable of winning it all, and the easiest thing is to go with what you know. And I mean, if you pick Alabama to win every year, you're going to be right more than half of the time. So it's been a pretty good percentage for those of us who have invested in Alabama stock over the years. The dividends are really good. We will take a break. More to come. Final hour and 15 minutes. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome all of you back, and Tommy is up next. Hey, Tommy, good afternoon to you. Tommy, you there? We'll give Tommy a couple more seconds. Maybe he's listening on the radio. Time is up. We'll try Charles next in Tennessee. Hello, Charles. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I was just wondering what your thoughts are when Tennessee football team will be back, and I want to say congratulations to the baseball team. Way to go, boys.
Yeah, the baseball team has been phenomenal. I'm not quite as down on the football as I was. I think Heupel has brought some things that I think are pretty exciting. I think with his offense, I think Tennessee has a chance to become bowl eligible this year, a phrase I don't like to utter, but when you're talking about a program like Tennessee, it's fairly important to make that distinction. And then if he can get some momentum and get some players in there, we all know what has left, then the next challenge is dealing with the after effects of the sanctions, whenever they are, and assuming that they come with any punishing force. But I think he's had a reasonably good 6 months, which no one was sure would be the case. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's talk next to Jamie, who is up next. Hello, Jamie. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, and I know none of the institutions are immune to it, even the institutions that I follow and are beloved to me. But it just seems like, you know, obviously Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, they're able to stack up five-star players. And, you know, we all know cheating goes on in virtually all college football programs. My question is, what is your opinion as somebody on the ground? How much do you think that is a factor in these colleges being able to stack up the five-star players? And just, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. And by the way, I'm not opposed to the players getting paid myself for what they do and the money they bring in. I'm just curious as to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Jamie, I don't think the schools you mentioned are successful because they're breaking rules. I think they have figured out how to communicate better than anyone else. I think they have they all have great facilities. And I just think because of the success that they have all enjoyed, it's almost having a trickle-down effect where success breeds success. I know that's, you know, hitting the cliche book pretty hard here at 5 o'clock. But the question overall is, does cheating exist in college athletics? Of course it does. Is anyone trying to do anything about it? No, they're not. So I think you have that part of the equation where there is a green light to bend the rules. And I blame the NCAA. They will pick on particular schools when they are hand-delivered the goods. And even then, I'm not sure they're all that serious about it. But we have moved from 20, 30, 40 years ago where there was a lot of cheating going on and there was an attempt to stop it to now there's almost no attempt. There's no attempt to stop it unless you could. If you're the NCAA and I come to you as one university saying, hey, the guy down the street is cheating, they will pretty much laugh in your face.
Okay. Interesting perspective. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of it going on, but. And you can, anyone who watches or listens to this show can figure out you know, how many schools are sitting there under the investigation, under the rule of the under the thumb of the NCAA, and virtually nothing has happened. And I mean, it's absurd, but it's also it's almost baked into the cake. And that's why the Tennessee case is so interesting, that the university essentially said, we did it. We're firing the coach and eight other people, and they're falling on the sword. And people in the industry were in shock because it seems honorable. And maybe at the faculty club, it sounds wonderful as you straighten your bow tie. But in the real world of the NCAA, it's unprecedented in this era. We'll take a break. More to come.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.